Now we begin the first part, and it will be the call of Isaiah and Isaiah 6, and the psalm that goes with it. It's a praise psalm, Psalm 138. So let's look at this text now. In the year, that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne with the train of his garment filling the temple. So he's in the temple when this call comes to him. Is he a priest? We don't know. Very sophisticated man and had easy access to the king. Maybe a counselor. Seraphim were stationed above. Each of them had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they hovered, they flew. One cried out to the other, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory. This is what we sing at that entrance to the canon of the Mass. The preface to the Mass announces the theme, and then we sing with the cherubim and the seraphim, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We take that from the welcome that the people gave to Jesus when he came into the temple, when he came into the city. And so, you see, they had six wings. Two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they hovered or flew. And then, and this is the theme of Isaiah's preaching. You see, the prophetic call sets the theme for this prophet. For instance, Amos, who cared so much about the oppression of the poor and was sent from the south to the north. Now, here's a perfect example, you see, of a prophet. He said, you know, when the prime minister up in the north said, get out of here. You want to be a prophet? Go down to your own country in your part and prophesy. And he said, look, I'm no prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet, being part of the prophetic guild, as it were. The Lord told me to come up here and tell you this. You are oppressing the poor, and you are going to be punished. You are not worshiping one true God, and you are going to be, like, deeply punished. The enemy is coming and will wipe you out. So, of course, he wasn't very popular up there. But, as he said himself, look, I'm not a prophet. I didn't study to be a prophet. I have a little farm, and I raise sycamore trees. Now, when you hear his call, he sees a vision, first of locusts coming to destroy everything. And he calls out, Lord, relent. How can Israel stand? He is so small. And God says, this shall not be. And then there's a fire. And again, and he says the same thing, Lord, relent. How can Israel stand? He is so small. And the Lord said, even this shall not be. So you see, there's many things. People want to be a prophet. I tell you, don't look for the job. But the key to prophecy is love of God's people. Any nut can get up and say you're terrible and God is going to punish you. That doesn't make him a prophet. Probably makes him an angry man trying to get his anger out by quoting God. Prophets love God's people. They weep. You just heard what the burden on Jeremiah. You led me on, and I let myself be led. And I made myself a laughingstock. But I have to. I have to warn these people to turn from sin. Amos is interceding. How can Israel stand? He is so small. Hosea, his prophetic call, was his broken marriage. When Gomer left him, the pain in him was unbelievable. I know I have talked about this before, because I met somebody once who so loved his wife who had left him that every nerve in his body was raw. And it sanctified him. And finally she came back, and they're doing all right. She's a nice girl, dumb, too dumb to see the love with which she was loved. And I looked at this when I met them, and I said, that's us. We have no idea how much God loves us, and how our infidelity and our sin and our sloth, you know, hurt him. Look at that guy, and you'll get an idea. In fact, it crucified him. And so, that's another dimension of prophecy, you see. Now, his lips were purified from the altar, from the fire, you see. And so now that he's purified, when the Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? He says, Hineni, I'll go, behold me, I'll go. It's the only prophet who volunteered for the job. All the others said, no, please, Lord, give me another job. I love you. I want to do what you want. But don't make me a prophet. I see what happens to them. And I don't want the job. And the Lord says, don't argue with me. Do what I tell you. Moses says, look, I can't talk. I mean, I'm not eloquent. God said, take your brother, Aaron, and you be a God to him, and he'll be prophet to you. You tell him what to say, and he'll say it. In other words, and Jeremiah, I'm too young. Don't say I'm too young. I make you old enough. And you go through the prophets. Most of them, all of them except Isaiah, didn't want the job. Now, we don't know that about each one. But you see, when a prophet has to prove he's a prophet, how does he do it? He tells the story of his call. This was not my idea. I didn't say one day, I think I'll be a prophet. And a prophet can be acting. Look at Mother Teresa. She prophetically acted out Christ's love for the poorest, the hungriest, the most neglected and despised, who weren't even Christians. And he said, look at that. Let your heart be moved. Do that. Because I want to pronounce through you my love for all the poor. If I remember the words of her call, it was something like, go care for the poorest and sickest of my Hindu and Muslim brothers and sisters. That's prophetic action. Padre Pio, an enlightened man, you know? So they're not just people who disturb the peace. They're called by God, and they have a message which they speak or act out. And as I say, Isaiah was so moved, he said, look, send me, I'll go. The only guy who ever said that. Now the psalm we have, we'll just take a few minutes to look at this psalm. This is a psalm, Le David, and it says, I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. In the presence of the angels, I sing to you. Now, that's quite amazing, isn't it? Neged Elohim, it's well to translate that, the heavenly beings, I sing. I bow low towards your holy temple. I praise your name for your mercy and faithfulness. For you have exalted over all your name and your promise. Now, why would the church take this psalm of praise as a response to the call? Well, first, the church lives by prophecy. The church lives by prophecy. There's even one structural element in the church which is prophetic, namely the infallibility of the Pope. And the ordinary magisterium is a prophetic protection against error. But then there are people who are raised up to be prophets. Margaret Mary Ella Koch. Call my people back to trust in my mercy. Establish, tell the Pope I want a feast in honor of my Sacred Heart. Call back Therese, the same thing. She's a victim of God's mercy. Faustina, tell the Pope I want that first Sunday after Easter to be dedicated to my mercy. God calling back. God speaking to us. And these people share God's zeal, and if I can put it this way, God's suffering. But Therese said, remember, God's mercy is so bottled up in him that I want to be the person through whom he can pour it all out, no matter what it costs me. Prophecy. See, prophecy is serious. And it includes words. She wrote out her life. She thought only for her superior, her sister, and changed the church. She didn't know it was ever going to be published, you know. Faustina kept the diary. She was not very literate, so there were lots of grammatical mistakes in her diary. Besides that, she's speaking in the name of Jesus, and the theologians who were responsible for checking her stuff out said, this poor lady thinks she's God. That's how little they knew about prophecy, these great theologians, whoever they were. Somebody's speaking in the name of God, and they think she's nuts. She thinks she's God. And Cardinal Wojtyła had to say, please look it over again, or would have never seen the light of day. And how impoverished the church would be. And we wouldn't have the Feast of Divine Mercy, you see. Though, it goes on then, you see, all the kings of the earth will praise you when they hear the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord. How great is the kavod, the glory of the Lord. The Lord is on high, but he cares for the lowly. And he knows the proud from afar. Though I walk in the midst of dangers, you guard my life when my enemies rage. You stretch out your hands, your right hand saves me. That's a prophetic prayer. I'll do what you're sending me to do, but if you don't protect me, I certainly won't last long. Nobody wants to hear that. As Augustine says, people love the truth when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. And how do you stop the accusation? You kill the prophet. Occupational hazard. People don't want to hear that truth. What a sadness. They're walking deeper and deeper into darkness, and they don't even know it. So God continually sends us people to wake us up and shake us up and entice us to follow him. John the 23rd and John Paul the 2nd and the present Pope are all enticers. They speak the truth in a way that people listen and follow, at least some. Therefore, we finished that part of the prophetic call.